Merry Christmas, everyone. I just want to, some of you probably don't know who I am. I'm Paula's husband, Paula Berkshire. Used to be Exie. She pretty much grew up in this church. We were married here, 24 years ago, last October. I grew up a military brat. Never really went to church or anything. I remember when I was real small, there was an episode in a church where it was the last time my mother ever took us. I don't remember if I was involved or not. I probably was. I have two boys, Austin and Colin. Right now, Colin's kind of a tough nut. He's 22 and he's being hard on us. Do air conditioning for work. I'm a roof hopper. I get on the rooftop. I've fixed the air here many times. I was unable this summer to help out after I had an unfortunate incident with the ground from two stories up. Broke a lot of things in my body, and I went through a lot. I was injured real bad. People were coming to visit me, and had a lot of surgeries. And I had a day where I was in pretty bad shape. It was Sunday, July 10th, and I felt so bad that I wanted to die, not figuratively, literally. I was in so much pain. Paula was going to come to church. It was a Sunday. She was going to go to the late service, so I wouldn't see her till later. And she had been my rock so far through everything. And so when she came to the hospital that day, she told me that she had been, she said she just felt foul. She was mean to everybody in the morning. She didn't want to go to church, but she did. While she was here, somehow the power of the Lord came into her. And when she showed up, she was like a bottle of champagne. She was just there for me, bringing me up. And when she told me about that, how she had felt, I had wanted so bad to just tell her how I was feeling early in the day, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't tell her because I couldn't drag her back down. It was pretty bad. I'm gonna backtrack to about 6 weeks before all this happened. I had a night where my grandfather came to me in my sleep, and I got up, got dressed, got out of bed, and I don't know how long everything took, but I visited with my grandfather. He died in 1971. I'm 53 now. I was maybe 12 or so when it happened. And I didn't get to see him before he passed away. We lived in Turkey at the time. And my mother came back. It was her father to the States. But he came to me, and I always had a great deal of love. We had a real special bond. He came to me, and we talked for a while in the house. And then I'm sleepwalking at this point. I walk outdoors. I'm showing him around our property. We live on acreage in the country. Showing him the garden, the greenhouse, the gardens, more than one garden. The greenhouse we're building, showed her where my in-laws, Jerry and Donna, live behind us. My wife's grandfather lives on the lot next to us. He told me, he says, I know those families. They're good families. And a lot of the conversation I had with my grandfather that night was regarding my son, Colin, the tough nut, who's wearing us out like you would not believe. Well, that's what I thought this dream was about. At one point, Paula came out and rounded me up in the yard. I've never slept walk in my life. And at some point, she got me out of this trance or whatever I was in, walking around out in the yard. And one of the things he had said to me, the last two things he said to me before he left, was just love him, talking about my son. And then the last thing he said was, something's going to happen. And that stuck with me. Every time Paula would try and talk to me about this incident, that came up. I said, my grandfather said something is, I believed it. It was totally in me, implicitly in me, that I knew something was going to happen, something important, something significant. So now let's jump back to the, something did happen. I fell. And I was in bad shape, and I wanted to die. Later that same day, I had a real nasty event, you know, throwing up and all kinds of things. They ran a tube down me. And after several hours, I was just feeling so much better. At some point, I just began feeling this energy in my feet. It was like thousands and thousands of little fingers of, this is how I describe it. It's not exactly energy, not like electricity, anything. And it slowly went through my whole body. And all the pain went away. It was almost overcoming. When this happened, the instant it started, I knew Jesus was coming into my body. Now, this is a person who did not believe at all. This is a person who had been coming to church for a long time with Austin and the boys because she wanted the boys raised in the church. It was starting to become an issue of, well, one of the boys' dad believes and the other one dad doesn't. They don't know. But Paula wanted this, and so I'm supporting her. And it's starting to get sticky, but anyway, my side of it, hers was unwavering. But I knew this. I knew it as surely and as implicitly as the day I fell and I was laying on the ground there with my legs all looking, all facing the wrong way and everything. I knew I fell. The same, as implicitly as when I looked out the window in that hospital room, that the sun was up. The sun had risen that day. Jesus was in me. He had came to me. So some time passed. And, you know, after that sensation subsided, it lasted a while. And, you know, I had no pain. I was just, after all I'd been through, I had this incredible relief for a while. So it happened again. I don't know, maybe an hour and a half, a couple hours later. This time it was even more intense. And I wanted Paula and this nurse that were in there. I thought it felt like the bed was, it was happening to the bed and everything. Its energy was so powerful. So I'm trying to grab them and tell them, you know, can you feel it? Can you feel it? They couldn't feel it. During the event, he spoke to me. He said, tell everyone. That was it. Now, when I tell pastor, the first thing he asked me is, what did he sound like? I'm like, you're not listening for that. When, you know, I mean, it's like, whew. But it was, so during the course of this, I'm almost being overcome, and she sees this, my Paula sees this look on my face that she doesn't know what's going on. She thinks maybe I'm having a heart attack, something. She's hitting the call button, and all I want is for them to feel the pleasure and this power that's coursing through me. It was tremendous. And of course, after it subsided, I had another period of no pain, a nice respite from the torture that I'd been going through. And so in between there and the third occurrence, I had a lot of time to think about things. And I would think, even I started thinking about things I'd been thinking about when I was at the peak of my pain before. I would think about anything from, oh my, how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to pay the bills? Are we going to lose our house? To, can I pick up the garden hose ever again and water my grapevines? I love doing that in the evening, little pleasures. Am I going to ever be able to do that again? So I had, through all that pain, I had all these giant worries and small worries. I worried about everything. The third occurrence happened, and it was just the incredible power again. After it subsided, all kinds of things are beginning to run through my mind, and I realized that everything had been taken away. It was gone. I didn't worry anymore. I knew everything was going to be all right, and I knew it the way I knew Jesus was coming into my body. I knew it when he spoke to me that it was him. And I knew that these things were gone. And I thought about all kinds of things. My mind was going to, it was just going everywhere. And I tried to, me being the person that I used to be, just hours before, my brain is still kind of working that way, and I'm trying to think, which I had earlier after the first occurrence. Is this adrenaline? Is this adrenaline or something from the relief of the pain that I had before? But I also knew, it was as if it had been put in my brain somehow, or so rapidly told to me that this is Jesus. This is no adrenaline. This is not, I knew that that was not the case. That was not true. This was nothing other than Jesus being in me. Well, to illustrate, I've held one grudge in my life. To make a long story short about this, I had a lieutenant in the service who I had a great disdain for. And I even thought about Lieutenant LaChance. And it had been an issue between me and Paula a few times. That would come up, and she'd say, "You've got to let it go, Bruce. Stop." I said, "Well, I would be retired from the military now if she wasn't the way she was, you know." And I realized, and I've told some of you some of the things, how I felt at the time, how deeply and nasty this hatred was. It was gone. She could have walked through that door. She still can today, and I would treat her like my own mother. The transformation since that day has been incredible. So I discussed these things. One of the first people I told was Pastor Rick. Of course, Paula was there that day, and she kind of lived through a lot of it with me. But I spoke to nurses in the hospital, and I started doing what I said I would do. Because I said, "I will." When he said, "Tell everyone." And of course, they've been saving me for Christmas Eve. They felt like it would... They get more bang for their buck. There's going to be more people here.
Amen.
But I see miracles from God everywhere, every day now. I'm in the van being transported to therapy. I'm just sitting looking out the window, things I would drive by, I would look at, and I would never see what it was. I've got surgery coming up on my back. Paula kept hammering at me. You know, these exe women are like badgers. They get something. And I was happy with the doctor we had. I still, to this day, believe that he would have been perfectly fine. We saw another guy yesterday. Everybody's mind is totally at ease now. He's going to do the thing for me. But there was this chain of events that occurred me to go into this guy. I feel even better myself that I'm going to that guy. A friend called, said he had baseballs for Austin. He's been saving them for him. Every so often he'll call me and we pick them up. I happened to be passing by Thursday. I went to pick them up. This doctor worked out of an office of a guy that we knew to be good. And we were talking about going to see. And he was raving about how well he was treated and everything. And so Paula is trying to convince me after she finds all this information on the internet. This is the guy we want. You know, we got to go see them. And I, as soon as I saw it, I knew what was going on. That this change in course was written for me. It was there. I stopped and saw Alan. He told me what he told me. He filled me with, "Yeah, I gotta tell Paula." And the badger is going to look it up. And she's going to find that, this is the way I need to go. I knew it was going to happen. And sure enough, there was this wealth of information. We went and met the person. There's no doubt in my mind that he's probably, if not the best in the valley, one of the best at what he does. And I knew that night, you know, I'm just kind of rolling around in the wheelchair and say, "Okay, dear, okay." I've been having, the roles have switched. She used to be the one who reassured me and told me everything's going to be, we're going to do this, we're going to stop worrying about it. Now I'm the one, because I just know when things are right. And, you know, the night before, things happened. Austin, later, after I gave him my testimony, I waited a while to tell my boys because, you know, one believing one way and one believing the other way through how things have been shaking out from them coming to church, you know. I wasn't sure when to do it, but I knew that I would know when it was time. And Austin was there one day, and it just started coming out of me. And I told him about it, and then he told me that the night before I had that, had the event, had Jesus come into me, that Paula had stayed late at the hospital that day, and he was out in the yard. You know, we sit out at night a lot of times and look at the stars. We'll watch the F-16's dog fight out there in the desert and all kinds of things. And it's kind of our place. We sit out and talk. And he was out there, and he said he was really upset. You don't mind if I tell this to you, Austin? I've already started. But he began telling me, he told me that he began yelling at God, "Why did you let this happen to my dad? Can't you just make him better? Make him, you know, heal him." Screaming at him in anger. So when he's telling me about this, I told him, "Austin, and remember I told you how, I'm not big on the singing. But believe it or not, I'm one of those people who enjoys the teaching and the sermon and things. That's what I like here. I've always liked that even when I didn't believe. I liked coming to hear it." And I remembered from earlier in the year, I told him, I says, "I don't remember what passage it was, Austin, but don't you remember in church pastor teaching about, you know, as long as you pray, you were praying, as long as you pray from your heart and it's real and it's true, your prayers will be answered." And God came and answered your prayer the next day. And I got to tell you, I know that all of y'all were praying for me. And this all happened. And, it's just, you know, one of the questions she asked the back doctor was, "Well, what is the, could Bruce die from this?" "Well, certainly he can die from any surgery," he says, "you know, but it's 1%, less than 1%, way less than 1% that he could." And I had told her, I says, "Well, we haven't asked that, you know, before." I had told her, we haven't asked that, but I suppose it ought to be asked. But I know nothing's going to happen. These guys are good or whatever, you know. But I knew that I wasn't given this gift to come and talk to a few nurses about it, a few medical techs, a few of my friends, a few people who are already believers. I've been given this gift to tell everyone, and I'm not just going to be here till I go on the table for that surgery. I'm expected to be here to tell this story. He wouldn't put me through things like this if he wasn't going to use me. And that's why I'm here tonight. I'm telling everybody because, you know, you're my friends, and I said I would tell everyone. You're going to save me time getting a lot of you in one deal here. But so I guess I just want everybody to understand that if anybody has any doubts, I can tell you it's real. This is the most real thing I've ever had in my life. About 3 weeks ago, when we were greeting each other after the opening hymns, one of the ladies that sits up front here in the second row said to me, "God's peace." And it came into me like a bolt of lightning. I understand what it means when they say that. I know people say it, but I don't. And God's peace isn't just peace to me, or stopping the war in Iraq, or stopping the people in Congo killing people, or the drug people shooting each other. God's peace is a totally encompassing thing, and He's given God's peace to me. That's why I'm not worried about what's going to happen, and I know that eventually everything's going to work out. And it's just, the power is just so incredible. I can't wait till I'm totally mobile again, so I can be out in the world when I want to go out, and I'm not waiting on a taxi driver to take me someplace, and I can see people and talk to people, and, you know, it's just just fantastic. I want to tell you about something else that also has happened along with this. While I was in the hospital, after these occurrences happened, I discovered that if I I pray for other people, the energy comes into me again. You would hear, I'd be laying there in the middle of the night. You know, they're shooting me up with Dilaudid, everything else. I'm dead to the world. And I hear trauma team one, trauma team two. That's those people that are on call in the hospital, and they're coming to see people who are like I was that day I came in. And I would wake up from a dead sleep and begin praying for these people. And I could feel this energy coming into my body just as it did before. And it felt like it was coming through me up out into the room as I prayed for these people, like it was going from me through the hospital to these people. I don't know if it was or not. I just know that that energy was there. Sometimes I feel a little guilty about, because the pleasure is so great for me. It's like, am I praying for these people? You know, still part of the old Bruce sneaking in there, you know, or, you know, the devil sneaking in there maybe and telling me, you know, yeah, you know, that's not what it is. You're wrong. Well, that's not what it is. Why am I waking up? The other day, I woke up. The dream with my grandfather, that dream was so real. It took me a while to understand that I was out sleepwalking. Before that, I never really was the kind of guy to have dreams about and getting frisky and stuff like that that were that vivid, almost realer than you can see with your own eyes. I dreamed about playing baseball when I was a boy. I dreamed about playing ball when I was a young man in the service. That was my number one dream that was so real. And that's the way that dream was that night when my grandfather came. And I believe that he was sent to me from God to tell me that something's going to happen. And it was to tell me not to be afraid when it happens and live through it and take it all in. Man. So some of us have to have it whooped into us, I guess, before we realize it. And it's just a full circle. I have seen so many things. I was going to keep track of a lot of these things so I could tell you all about them. But, I mean, some weeks there's 2-3 occurrences in a week of things that people... I see that are what they are, and it's truly a miracle what God's given us. You know, He gave His life for us, and He's back in heaven where He's supposed to be, and we're supposed to be following Him. The power is so great. When I pray for today, I was up here at communion one time just a while back, and my father had asked me to pray for a friend of theirs. And I had to sit down because it was going through me then when I was praying for Helen. And I felt like I couldn't, I wasn't as nimble as I am now. So I felt like I might fall. And I had to back off the prayer a little bit and sit down while I completed praying for her, because this energy was coming through me. I don't know if it's going to continue for the rest of my life. I hope it does. But, I wish everyone could have come in to them what came into me. It would sure make these gentlemen's job a whole lot easier. Yeah. But, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I just want to tell everybody about this. I had planned to do it earlier. I was still a little foggy from things, you know, and we felt it was better to wait, and they decided, well, let's do it Christmas Eve. Like I said, more bang for the buck. And so, but... I just want to tell everyone, it is real. And feel free to tell anybody the story, because I'm blown away by what's happened to me. And, I am so much more patient now, you know. I'm the guy who's tapping people on the leg in the car saying, relax, it's okay. You know, don't yell at them, you know, that kind of thing. We'll get there. So... there we are.
Similar power encounters on our Monday night prayer, Tuesday night celebrate recovery. It's not about religion. And if you're really curious about all this, and maybe you've gone to church a lot, but you're going, you know, I'd like to have what he's got. That's the greatest Christmas gift of all. Talk about presents under the tree. The greatest presents we can get is His presence, right? And that power that comes from Jesus. We're not just focusing on a little baby in a manger. We're focusing on the man Jesus, the Savior Jesus, who is God and man, who died for your sins and mine, and rose again from the dead. And He is in heaven, but He's also here with His presence and His Holy Spirit, and He's offering that right now. So let's pray about that. Let's open up this gift before we open any other gifts this Christmas. Heavenly Father, Your Word tells us that You loved us so much that You gave Your very best gift, Your Son, that whoever puts their trust in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life that starts right now. Lord, forgive us our sins, our impatience, our pride. Forgive us for going the wrong way. Thank You for bringing Bruce on the right track, on the right road, the one road that leads to eternal life, the free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask right now that You pour out Your Holy Spirit upon all those who are thirsty for living water, all those that are hungry for the bread of life that would satisfy their soul, and they tried everything else, even church and even religion. And so, Lord, we ask right now that You come. Come, Holy Spirit. And for those who have never received Jesus, it's as simple as ABC. Admit you're a sinner, that your life has become a train wreck, but believe in Jesus, ask Him into your heart to be your Savior and Lord, and then commit the rest of your life to serve Him. So, Lord, we ask that You come now. Come, Holy Spirit. Give us that peace. Give us that power. Give us that hope. Give us that joy. And give us the assurance that You'll be with us. And as the angel told the shepherds, may we hear that to us as we approach a new year with all the craziness of our world. Fear not. For behold, I give you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David, your Savior, Christ your Lord. Amen.